the antidote to fear is sound and touch. That's a lovely way to think about what's going on here.
This is Chapter, Verse, and Season, a lectionary podcast from Yale Bible Study. Join us each week as two Yale Divinity School professors look at an upcoming text from the Revised Common Lectionary. This episode, we welcome two new guests to the podcast, Willie James Jennings, Associate Professor of Systematic Theology and Africana Studies, and Adrian Hernandez Acosta, Assistant Professor of Religion and Literature. They're discussing Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 48, which is appointed for the third Sunday of Easter in year B. Here's the text. Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 48. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. Yet for all their joy, they were still disbelieving and wondering, and he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things."
Adrian, I love this text in Luke chapter 24. The thing about it is I like how tactile it is, even though it's words on a page, it feels so fleshly because it's Jesus kind of presenting his body. And so I've always appreciated the kind of sensuality of this particular text. He shows up, they're surprised, and then he says, "Touch me." And then he says, "Give me something to eat." And then he talks, but that talking now has this nice feel related to it. So he's talking, wanting them to listen, but he also wants them to feel it. I always like that.
What that really draws my attention to is the kind of next section where he's basically telling them to reinterpret previous text in light of what's just happened. And it's such a wonderful transition because then I start to think about text and literature in a much more material way. Mm. What does it mean to read together while we're eating this fish, while we're touching each other, while we're beside each other? So it's beautiful how those two sections in that passage work together around interpretation and materiality for me.
Yeah. I like the way you put those two things together, interpretation and materiality, because those two things are often kind of left in separate rooms. And what's so nice about the way you put that is that Jesus kind of weaves them together in his body. And, you know, as I think about this text, I think about all the thousands of sermons I've heard about it. And the interesting way many of those sermons kind of always play with the way Jesus is addressing fear in this, as you put it, the materiality and the textuality of it and the interpretation of it. So that the antidote to fear is sound and touch, which... to me, that's a lovely way to think about what's going on here.
Right. A certain familiarity that's only kind of confirmed in the tactile, right? I'm not a ghost, right? I'm not just an image, but come and touch me, and that's supposed to comfort those who are around him.
Yeah. I love that part. The other part I love is that boiled fish piece. And I remember hearing many a debate whether this was actually boiled fish or fried fish. Mm. And, you know, many of the folks I know, you know, argued that boiled actually means fried.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's a particular interpretation of the Greek text.
Okay.
Though I don't think it's, you know, it's valid, but it still does sound very nice.
Yeah.
But I love this. I love the idea that he says, go give me a piece of fish or give me something to eat. Mm-hmm. And so they bring him this piece of boiled fish, which, you know, has that nice, you know, in kind of a preacherly logic, it has that nice full circle with the very beginning of his ministry when he, you know, gets these fishermen and, you know, and so they begin by eating fish. And so now at this moment, they're still eating fish.
It's a beautiful touch, that kind of full circle, because he meets them where they are, right? They've returned back to their previous profession. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And instead of reprimanding them for having done that, he meets them where they are.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And does it in the most tactile way. Like, this is what you know how to do. Let me have you recognize me again from where we started.
Yeah. And it's that recognition thing that's always amazed me about this text, because, you know, in the text said, you know, highlights the hands and the feet. And that's, you know, that's what's amazing about that is, you know, the hands and the feet are where, in many ways, the most grotesque aspects of his assassination show themselves. Mm-hmm. And so here, you know, he said, okay, I want you to look at the very thing that was the most grotesque. And what's always been amazing about this is that the hands and the feet are still marked. Mm-hmm. You know, they still have the holes. Mm-hmm. You know, we have, I think in so many Christian contexts, we haven't really spent a whole lot of time. I know in Catholicism we do a little bit in terms of the stigmata, but we haven't spent a whole lot of time of thinking about a wound that is yet a site of healing, you know. It's a wound, but it's still healed because he's overcome death.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I think that is always something that anybody preaching or teaching this text needs to reflect on. Hmm. That, you know, there can be wounds that actually say something about the afterlife and about life after horror.
Mm-hmm. And that life after horror, I mean, those are the same hands, presumably, that he's using to eat this fish.
Yeah.
Right? So not only showing the scars, if you will, of previous tribulations, but actually using those very hands to then kind of be in community once more.
I can, you know, I often would imagine what it must have been like to watch, I mean, for them to watch him. After seeing him die, and then to, you know, to watch him eating, right? And to, I mean, you could almost do a Hollywood movie of this, you know, he brings the fish to his mouth and then you see this big gaping hole in his hand. You know, he crosses his legs and you see the big gaping hole in his feet, you know, the spectacle of all that. Mm-hmm. And Jesus allowing that spectacle, in a sense, to be drawn to him, so that he is presenting possibility where you didn't think possibility could exist, right? And in many ways, this for me has always been where the kind of the deeper texture of belief in the resurrection lies, right? It's that what you don't think could be possible. Here it is. Mm-hmm. You know, here is a body that has come through what no body has ever come through, and there's something always powerful about that.
It makes me reflect a lot on, you know, the same kinds of Christian communities that may not have thought as much about the stigmata are the same ones that ground so much of their faith experience in having witnessed the impossible in their own lives. And how those two come together, that there's something very, very material, very, very sensible about what it means to walk in the faith, that in many respects this text is kind of drawing out for us, eat with this man who's here.
I like the way you put that, very, very sensible in the registers of the word sensible, that's very nice, because, there is a sensitivity, a senseness that is always kind of resonant in this story that we often don't kind of grasp fully because it can be a little upsetting. Mm-hmm. I mean, touch is such a freighted thing mm-hmm. for people. Mm-hmm. And touch has those good and negative connotations for so many people. Mm-hmm. And so to have the beginning of what will be at the very end of this lovely text, the reality of witness, to be inaugurated by touch, mm. is something I think we have to think and ponder.
Mm. Hmm. If I can actually ask you a follow-up on that, you know, touch, one of the really interesting things about touch is that you can't touch without being touched.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of a two-way street.
Right.
And so what do you make of Jesus saying, okay, witness by touching me mm-hmm. and letting himself be touched? What that kind of two-way street does to these notions of witness.
Mm-hmm.
Just curious.
That's a great point to be thinking about because, as I like to say, you know, the thing about the incarnation within Christian thought, the thing about the incarnation is not simply that God comes to embrace us, but God comes to be embraced. Mm. And there's something very powerful about the currency of the sensual mm. that God inaugurates and wants to sustain after the resurrection. Mm. So, and this text always stands in contrast to the text where he says to Mary, don't cling to mm-hmm. me. But the clinging doesn't mean touching. It means that you just don't hold on to me because mm. I have to ascend. But what's so great about this is that as the, you know, the precursor to that moment, or should I say, after, it's the post reality of the moment after he's ascended and returned. Now, he wants to be touched, mm. and there's something about that we haven't yet fully cherished. I don't think, mm. and by we I mean Christians who try to read and preach and interpret this yeah. lovely text.
I mean, thinking about Luke's relationship to Acts, right? Mm. How these mm. kind of end concluding scenes of the gospel are preparing the missionary work that's about to take place in the sequel,
yeah.
so to speak.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And how the send-off is precisely in this very material witness mm-hmm. of a God who wants to be in continual touch with us as we strive to be in touch
yeah,
with
yeah,
him.
Yeah. Yeah, I like the way you put witness there because I think that really is the tactile and the sensual nature of witness is really what's underscored so beautifully in this story. Yeah, I love that.
Thanks for listening. We're here every week with new episodes to help you shape your preaching, teaching, and reflection. Chapter, Verse, and Season is a production of the Center for Continuing Education at Yale Divinity School. It's produced by creator and managing editor Joel Baden, production manager Kelly Morrissey, associate producer Aiden Stoddart, and I'm your host and executive producer, Helena Martin. And our theme music is by Calvin Linderman. We'll be back with another conversation from Chapter, Verse, and Season.